May my words be of you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Matt Skinner, who is the professor of New Testament at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, says that this parable is one of the most offensive in the New Testament. It is so unfair. The people who work the longest, from early morning through the heat of the day until evening, get paid the same as the people who come late in the day and only work 1 hour. Not only that, but the landowner makes the hardest workers stand there. The people who were the most tired, they have to watch everyone else get paid. And then they are paid the same as those who worked a lot less. And finally, the landowner wants the workers to appreciate his generosity. What about this story is God's vision for a better world? Well, I want to suggest that our reaction, or maybe my reaction, to this parable may expose some really deep-seated values and even assumptions that God's kingdom turns upside down. I am very aware that when I see groups of men standing on street corners in the middle of the day, there are thoughts that go through my mind. How come they're not working? Did they try to get a job? Are they lazy and just milking the system? What's wrong with them? And what about the men that Jesus described standing in the marketplace at noon and 3 and 5 o'clock? But notice, when the landowner asks, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" they answer, "Because no one hired us." If you've been in a city and are out early in the morning, there are places, street corners, parking lots, where day laborers gather. It's an understood system. A foreman comes by and needs 10 men to do manual labor. What 10 would you choose? The youngest? The strongest? The ones who look healthy? The ones who speak English? The same thing happens over and over. The ones that are left are older, maybe sickly, maybe have something wrong. So they get passed over time and again. And yet it's so easy to assume it's their fault that they're unemployed. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg died this week. She graduated in 1959 at the top of her Columbia Law School class. But because she was a woman and a mother, judges and law firms didn't want to hire her. There was nothing wrong with her, and she certainly wasn't lazy or ill-equipped. She just wasn't who the economy of the time thought was worth employing. There are inequities in every human system. There are inequities in this nation that put people at disadvantage, but not in God's kingdom. Over and over again, the kingdom landowner goes out and employs the ones that others rejected. This landowner, this person with power and resources, thinks differently about human beings, values the cast-offs as much as the ones who got picked first. We learned so early to place differing value on people. Do you remember in school when you picked teams for games on the playground and in the gym? There was shame for those who got picked last. How do we learn that? But with God, no one is valued more because they're young or experienced or strong or good-looking. In the kingdom of God, we all are given ultimate value because of who God is. In Matt Skinner's words, this parable is about the scandalous nature of divine grace. End of quote. Grace is God's love toward us before we even know it's there. Grace is forgiveness we don't deserve. Grace is never-ending second chances. Grace doesn't judge us for being less than our best. Grace welcomes us home when we've squandered an opportunity. Grace is open-handed generosity that holds nothing back, even one's own life. Grace is new for us every morning and every hour of every day. Another commentator puts it something like this: the nature of God's grace is that none of us deserve it. It's just sheer gift. When we begin to grasp the nature and magnitude of God's grace, why would we want anyone to receive less? In the kingdom of heaven, people are valued differently than they are in the world. So maybe we might want to ask, when we pass that group of men on the street corner, what is wrong with me? What am I doing to help them? Have I been lazy and not tried hard enough? This parable also got me to thinking about the value that we place on our work and what we get paid. I still remember sitting in the front seat of the car in the parking lot of the bank, holding my first paycheck after seminary. It was my first full-time job. I was 47 years old. I had raised two sons, been praised for numerous jobs, excelled in school, played three musical instruments, okay, poorly, had two degrees. And as I sat there looking at that check, I remember saying to myself, finally, I'm worth something. I wonder if I broke God's heart. In the world, it's so easy to value people based on all kinds of things: how tall or thin or smart they are, how good looking, the color of their skin and hair, how much they get paid, how many degrees they have, how well behaved their children are, the size of their boat or their car or their house, how many books they've read or written, the good deeds they've done. Somehow we really believe that some people got where they are because they are better than other people. And somehow we really believe that if we work harder or longer, God will love us more. The economics in the kingdom of God are not like that. In God's eyes, everyone receives grace in vast quantities that none of us begins to deserve. That's what God is like. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, admonishes them to live their lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. I think that means to live as people who know just how much grace we have been given that we did not deserve. To live lives worthy of the gospel of Christ is to live from a place of gratitude and generosity of spirit, recognizing that every person we meet is someone that God would seek after even at the end of the day and make sure they had what they need whether they earned it or not. The very last verse of today's psalm proclaims that God is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great kindness. To live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ is to believe that we can do nothing less. It's the work of a lifetime. So I invite you for just a moment to look around, ponder who and what you have been given, and remember, it's all gift. It's all grace. Every day.